Hey, there's one word that can describe this last week or so, even this day. It's the word crazy. It's really gone crazy around here. This is Russ Dizdar, and this is Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Monday night, March the 7th. We have missed so many of you all of last week. Now, we've had some things that occurred, but I'm going to tell you what's happening right now. I had to drive from a hotel over here tonight. I'm upstairs in a secondary room where we have brought all of our equipment up to do the broadcasts. About a week ago, we had, literally rainwaters come in, a flood down in the basement, down in the room where we do all of these broadcasts and have all of the books, all the materials, all the research. And it was just absolutely amazing. Let me tell you something about this. On the way over here, thinking about the show, thinking about all that needs to be done this week, we've been running around since about 7 o'clock this morning, taking industrial fans back to one place, meeting the industrial workers coming into my home for the cleanup. And so I'm driving over here thinking about tonight and this week, the theme. I am driving with my eyes wide open. I'm driving down the road with tremendous attention to the car to the right of me and behind me, and whether the light is green or red in front of me, what the speed limit is. Think about driving a car. There's a lot of things involved. You know, staying in your lane, staying within the speed limit, the person next to you, where you're traveling to and where you're traveling from, the person behind you, the person on the other side of the road. Well, there's so many things. It's obvious we don't drive with our eyes shut. Now imagine trying to drive your car with your eyes shut. Imagine going down the road, getting from one place to another, staying in the lane. How would you know how fast you're going? How would you know who's next to you, who's in front of you, when to stop? When to turn? Could you ever get to your destination with your eyes shut? Now, let me tell you something. We need our eyes wide open, especially in the days that we're living right now. This week, the theme title is Alert, Impending Danger Ahead. We are on a bridge over troubled waters, and the bridge is about to collapse. Now take a look, if you would, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Now that's the website, and that's where hundreds of other MP3s. Now there are training courses, conference materials, seminar materials, all of it free there to the left, and many other things that are coming up. I'm telling you about this now because of, we've got a great conference coming up in about 20 days in Groton, Connecticut, New England area. And we want you to come there March 25th, 26th, 27th. It's the C conference. And then the April 1st and April 2nd, the Politics of Religion. Both of those banners are up on my website, and you can click on them to find out more info. We're looking forward to seeing some of you. Please pray about it, consider it, and we want you to come, and we want to engage you there and be a part of a great conference. The rest can continue to pray everything up. Let me tell you about, let me give you a quick, about a 7-8 minute overall in the last 8 days. Now, it begins really a couple of weeks ago with waking up constantly at 5 o'clock in the morning. Not 3, not 3:33, but 5. And getting up, coming down to pray to find out what is up. Again and again this occurs. Until one night, almost 2 weeks ago, I have this dream. Now, I've shared about it in the mini-cast that we put out, but others want more. Some of you want more information on that. And really, this is what it was about. It was simply, and again, I'm going to tell you that I can't say that God gave me a dream to share to you. I'm not going to claim this is a biblical dream. But it's a dream that deals with biblical themes, and probably because, you know, I work in this area, and it has a lot to do with the concept of Black Awakening and the chaos. I know explicitly that's the event. We've been in this evolutionary development of satanic sequence, but the event that is going to rock human history as nothing else, and paved the way for a new regime. And, of course, Homo Satanus. Now, the dream was all about, you know, that massive chaos did kick off and that there were people running everywhere. And the reason they were running was that there were others chasing them down. There were actually individuals that seemed to know what they were doing, chasing down other individuals to take their lives. They were out there creating chaos, doing the stuff. But here's the issue. It seemed like there was no place to hide. Even with the groups of people we were running with in the dream and going different places. And actually, we were like in the book of Acts when Saul, who got saved, became Paul. A death plot came up and the disciples took him out and lowered him in a basket outside the city to get away. And so there's a time, like in the early days of the persecutions of the church, Polycarp and others. There was a time to move on. There was a time to continue. Philip, of course, left the area where the scattering of the church was going on and went off as God led, I believe, to Samaria, where he unleashed evangelism powerfully. Now, in this dream, the emphasis was, for so many people, there's no place to hide. And I think the idea was, in the dream, and here's what I did, if, you know, after the next day, thinking about it, telling my wife about it, and wondering whether I would talk about it or not, but it wasn't just something little. It was a very big dream. It was a very big, and it was kind of the dream that you have where you can wake up a little bit, fall back to sleep, and go right into the same dream. You ever do that? Well, that's what it was like. And it seemed to me that no matter what people did, they couldn't ultimately hide. And that was the emphasis. So I was praying over it, thinking about all of that, and again, talking to the Lord about it, that ultimately, in the end, there's really no place to hide. When the new regime comes and all the things that occur, if that's the only thing we're committed to is hiding, then we're missing the mark. If it's the only thing we're planning on doing is to hide and to hide and to hide and to hide out and hide further out and hide somewhere else and to continue to hide, then that is, it's something that we do not want to communicate. We do not want to preach. We do not want to prepare people for. The goal is not hiding. The goal is to be wide open, like Philip, for aggressive ministry. Now, that does mean if you move here or there or wherever, but it's all about what we're going to do when all hell breaks loose. So that's the dream, and it kind of, again, brought me to the entire week that we were going to have last week, but that got washed out. I got a heads up. Now, you're not going to believe this at all. I don't know if you're going to believe this at all, but here's what occurred. So I'm going to sleep Sunday night. It's raining. Middle of the night, big, massive thunderstorms, lightning, unbelievable. So I'm on the second floor, the top floor of our house, and I'm able to look out the window, seeing the sky light up, the rains come down. Finally get to sleep at some point, but sooner or later, you know, I usually wake up before any alarm goes off. But this time, a noise, a strange but yet familiar noise. I'm going to tell you what it is. I didn't know if I should tell you or not. But every year around this time, we have a woodpecker that comes back to this area. And there's areas in our house where it's like a little hole, and that little fella comes back to try to, you know, go around that and make it bigger. I don't know if he's looking for a nest or what. But the sound is so incredible. Actually, I love the sound. And that little da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, that little just, you know, he's just going at it. And sure enough, he's going at it, wakes me up, and I'm smiling, laying there, listening to him again and again, but I don't want him to be boring a house, you know, a big old hole in the house. So I got to go to the window, open it, chase the little fellow away. But now I'm up. So I decide to go down the stairs, next level. Go down the stairs to the next level. Go down the stairs to the broadcast center, the study center, where I do all the stuff. I'm starting to go down the stairs. When I hit the bottom, splash, splash. It is totally flooded. There is water. It is unbelievable. You know, I'm barefoot walking through. And I cannot believe the entire place, everything. I'm flipping on lights. I notice a power cord with plugs that is actually in the water on. I pulled that out of the socket immediately. I had no idea, thinking about it when I went down, that it was even still on. And so I'm looking at everything, wondering where it's come. I go to the sub pump, you know, bang on that thing to click it back on. Obviously, the storms and the water was so immense in this area that it overrode the sub pumps and everything. And so the water had almost reached the edge to go over the bookshelf bottoms. All I can tell you is I began to move things, move books, place things everywhere, you know, do everything I could to begin to, you know, get the water out of there and pick up things. And there were boxes and materials and things on the floors. Bottom line, it took a day or so of doing that. We immediately in that morning called professionals to come in, insurance people to come in. We're told Monday they're coming. We're told Tuesday they're coming. We're told Wednesday they're coming. We're told Thursday, Friday, Saturday they're coming. Never came. As a matter of fact, the insurance guy calls Friday. He says, we'll be back next Friday, another week away. So the professionals showed up on Sunday. Now, they've come in. We've already done all the extraction we could. We've already picked up what we could. We've already scheduled a team to come in to move 7,000 books and all the other equipment. I already set up a temporary broadcast. That's where I'm at right now, a temporary place. In the sunroom. Some of you that came to the Canton Conference came to my home. I'm in that sunroom where you guys were sitting. We're all kind of loaded up here, hoping that it's all going well. But here's what occurs. They come in. They do what they do. I've got to sign all these papers. And then they had to spray all this stuff because of black mold, all these molds, four different kinds of chemicals. By the time they were done and left, the house was like just fuming. And we couldn't take the smell or the dizziness. So we vacated the house on Sunday and went to a hotel. We're there this morning. I had to come out here at 7 to get rid of some fans. They added 15 industrial fans, big, massive dehumidifiers. They're going to try to save all those books. They're here today ripping out carpet, and they had to treat the floors. And it's worse. Now listen, I don't know what it is. I can't stand the chemical stuff. I got this metallic taste in my mouth. We've got everything closed off. I'm the only one here at the side. Windows are wide open. So if you hear cars and trucks go by, or I've got a bird in the background, well, it's because even with this 35-degree weather, I had to open up everything because of the smell. But we're ready, we're here, and that's going to lend itself to this week's lesson. And that is alert, Gregoruo. That's the word we're going to take out of Colossians 4:2, out of 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8. This is the word watch. This is given by God. Watch. Be alert. And one of the old Greek scholars described the use of this word as looking for the impending danger. Let me stop there. I want to say thank you to all those who've been sending notes in, putting posts on Facebook and emails and even letters saying we're praying for you and we appreciate that. It really is a great thing to have great friends, brothers and sisters in Christ that know how to pray. And we count on that and we feel that and we trust that. We know others would like to take a different opportunity this time. I mean, there's even those undergrounders that are laying claim. The only problem is, when we went into Pennsylvania a little over a week ago, some are saying, well, Russ, this occurred, because we got back on Sunday, and Sunday night is when the floodwaters came, and Monday morning is when we found out. We're into Pennsylvania, into Meadville, and once again hunting down some chosen one satanic ritual stuff and a church and a death and all the stuff that occurs. We'll tell you more about that when things develop. But there are those that are claiming, well, because you did that, you know, this is the result. Well, No, I don't believe that is. I don't think this is. We have so many homes in the area, schools and businesses and roads. If I cause this, there's going to be a lot of people angry at me because a lot of homes had their basements flooded out and businesses were shut down and schools were shut down and roads were shut down. It is bizarre, but I believe it had everything to do with the weather at this time anyway. But let me tell you that it doesn't change the fact of when any kind of crisis comes up, what do we do? Well, how do we respond? Now, we can go way back to pre-Nazi Germany. We can go back there and begin to think about the rise of a Third Reich and the voice of Hitler. You know it once you heard it. And the entire occult-driven, spirit-driven regime that was developing. It's pretty incredible, but I have a friend out west that sends me, Tim, thank you, an article about Ewald von Kleist, 88 years old. Let me just quote it. He's the last living member of the July 20th, 1944 plot to kill Hitler, part of Operation Valkyrie. Though suspected of involvement, he escaped the fate of most of the other conspirators, including his father, when charges were dismissed due to a lack of evidence. Kleist, well, he planned to assassinate Hitler with explosives at an event to demonstrate a new uniform, but the Nazi leader failed to show up. Now, this goes on and on in the story, but the title of the article is this. That's why it's caught my attention. I'm looking at the picture of the 88-year-old Ewald von Kleist, and the title is, There Will Be Another Hitler Someday. That's the words and the quote from the 88-year-old, who no doubt not only heard the speeches of Hitler, heard him in closed quarters, but plotted with Operation Valkyrie to end Hitler's life. Now, the interesting thing about this German, 88 years old, you do realize there are a lot of actual Nazi, black flame-oriented, well, they would be German, but Nazi in their ideology, in their spiritual quest, Luciferian. They are out there, some that listen to this program, some of the second generation and the third generation that also listen to this program. They're out there and they listen and, well, we've engaged them here in the Ravenna area at the farm at, again, a Nazi black flame ritual where satanic ritual abuse and the creation of chosen ones have been going on for over 50 years. We found it in Lisbon. We found it in Hanoverton. We found it in Akron. We found it in Cleveland. We found it in 9 or 10 of the cities we've directly visited in Pennsylvania. Let me tell you something. That regime spread everywhere. The chosen ones, the troops of Antichrist, as they call themselves, they believe that a new Führer will rise. Some super leader even more powerful and more spiritually endued, no doubt, Homo Satanus. Now listen to this. Von Kleist, I'm quoting, says this. One of the last things Hitler said was, we will slam the door shut behind us with a loud bang. He wasn't able to do it at the time, but who can say whether an Iranian leader won't feel the same way someday? Or look at Pakistan. What happens if there is a regime change? Listen to his words. An old German, 88 years old, knows the Nazi regime was part of a plot to kill Hitler, like a mini Antichrist, telling us this. What happens if there is a regime change and the Islamists get their hands on nuclear bombs? Now von Kleist, the 88-year-old German, I quote him, there will be another Hitler someday. Now you do know that Hitler also, according to Albert Speer, got up in the middle of the night, shaking, trembling, pointing to the corner of the room about another presence. When asked who they should look for in the future, Hitler's words were, "Look for the man." Now, that comes into play during this week, alert impending danger ahead. Let me give you a couple updates. I'm going to go over the notes. Let me say again, welcome to all those who are listening by satellite, listening by internet radio, and listening later by the archives, by the thousands in many countries around the world, including Germany and France and Poland and Portugal and Spain and Ireland and England and Russia and the Czech Republic, and friends from around the world that have emailed. And yes, it's impossible to get back to all the emails. We're trying, but obviously with this adaptation we've had this last week and a half, that we are even further behind. We will have the book of Acts. We're going to keep working right on that and give you more of that soon. If not tomorrow, the next day. We want you to know about the conferences again. And listen, every week now there's a mini cast about 9 minutes to 14 minutes long. It's up all about the week. And then there's PDF file study notes for the entire week. Monday night, here's what it is. Your life, the impending dangers coming ahead. We're going to deal with fear mongering tonight, or building faith. What you don't know will hurt you. Just ask Peter. Now, Tuesday night, listen. March the 8th, 6 p.m. live, Shatter Live. Here's the title. The world will live in, the world you live in, rather, the impending danger coming ahead. What the world doesn't know will hurt them. And for some, that hurt will last forever. What needs to be done to alert the world that hurricane hell is on the way? How can the world brace for this? And then we have Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night. And so we want to invite you, share the news, tell your friends, make CDs so that as long as the internet lasts, you can have things down the road. But I want you to understand this one singular word. It comes out of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It is simply the word gragruio. And it is, in a simple way, just meaning to be awake or to watch. But in the description of the use of the word, Greek scholars, one that I really love, defined the use of the word like this. That we're to be watching for the impending danger. So today I pulled out a brand new other lexicon and another Greek scholar. And kind of the same thing. To take heed lest through passivity and lack and keeping our eyes closed, that kind of things, that destruction would suddenly come over us. So the idea is to be alert. The idea is to be alert. Now, this is something that we do when we're driving the car. So don't think this is something beyond our ability. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit of God, you have the Word of God. Watch. Be alert. It is used in the context. Now, let me ask you a question. When you read Colossians 4:2, and the Spirit of God calls us to be devoted continuously to prayer, I mean, just absolutely be committed to being a powerful prayer warrior, consistent in prayer, and then it says being watchful in the context of your prayer, being watchful, being alert, that is, looking for impending danger. In the presence of God, in the presence of the Spirit of God's leading, with your Bible open, just a sense of awareness. I mean, if it's referring to impending danger, and if it's a word that has this concept that if we have our eyes closed and we're not watching, that some kind of catastrophe can fall on us, that we need to be watching lest something like that occur. Well, if we're supposed to be looking for the impending danger, please understand the danger in the context here, and specifically 1 Peter chapter 5, when the word is used there, translated, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, diabolos, that he's there, that there's really a behind-the-scenes activity going on, heightened as never before in humanity's history. doing everything possible to keep people from knowing God, knowing Christ, hearing the message, and on the other hand, layering nations, the world, and individuals with all of its promise, all of its doctrine, all of its agenda. It is all moving forward, and that deep, thick, satanic molasses, well, it's rising. It's rising all around us. It is very clear the world doesn't have the eyes to see. The world's eyes are shut, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Have you read it? It refers to the god of this age, small g, that blinds the minds, simply so that people can't see. It is the idea that there is a spiritual presence operative to the point of cloaking human perception, discernment, and openness to the revelation of God. That verse is all about a presence actively involved in keeping, maybe even you, some of you, from knowing who God really is. The world doesn't have a clue what's really occurring. Now, they can feel it. It's in the air. There's all kinds of reports. There's Webbot. There's all, you know, catastrophe, 2012ers, the Mayan prophecies, all the rest. Okay, setting that aside because it's not accurate. It doesn't bring about the accuracy of what is coming, what will occur, and what will ultimately occur, and how to be prepared. This word is all about looking for the impending danger of the dark side, of tracking, of looking, of seeing what God has said will be done. And yeah, there's a lot of you that have written. Why doesn't our pastors tell us this in the pulpits? Why doesn't the churches preach this? Why haven't we heard this in 20 years? Why don't we know these themes? Well, we're going to talk about some of that today and this week. Now, in the notes that I've given you, I have down here, well, a question. What you don't know, can hurt you. Now, let me give you an example quickly. Here's Peter, in the Last Supper, and they're fellowshipping together, and there is Emmanuel. There is God in Christ sitting in the room. They've been together almost 3 years. There's a great fellowship. They're feasting together. Their minds are on the food. But their minds and their hearts are not attentive. They're not watching. Now, nothing can get past God in Christ. The words of Jesus to all of a sudden look up and divert them from what's going on. He gave them an announcement. He gave them a heads up. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Now, could you imagine the behind the scenes? Could you imagine what just went on? Behind the scenes, a diabolos entity enters the room. Now, Jesus knows, and it deals with the laws of engagement. It deals with what goes on behind the scenes, not just 2,000 years ago, but in political circles. And listen, this is in a place where they're eating dinner. And the request is to come in and bring destruction. They had no clue. Even when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan is asked. Now in the Greek, when he says to sift you, it's plural for all of them. This diabolos, this presence, wanted all of them. You can be sure if you're a believer in Christ, diabolos wants you. Again, Peter writes about this later on, doesn't he? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Does he write it? Not only guided by the Spirit of God, but now by clear experience. Your enemy, the devil, he's prowling around looking for someone. Now, he's roaring like a lion. You know, he's out there to scare people, of course. But he's looking for someone to devour. Now you check out that word sometime, to swallow, like an animal eating another animal and swallowing it whole. You and I need to understand the spiritual danger. We can look back in history and see how that spiritual revelation and data that came down that became the Nazi ideology, the political ideology that led ultimately millions and millions and millions died in bloody, horrific war. Ovens were created, and an entire race, a national race of humanity was, there was going to be an attempt to erase them from existence, annihilate them. All of it coming from Luciferic inspiration that became political ideology that had the presence and the power behind them because they opened up to it and they were going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's pretty amazing that even one life can open up to that dark side, and that dark side coming in can lead it, guide it to bring destruction. Like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker in California, decimating lives by what he did. But by beyond human, this is Diabolos. What about the impending danger? What about, as a believer, spiritual warfare? If you don't know the principles, if you don't know what God says about it, if you don't know that the church is launched in the midst of a battle with the gates of hell, if you don't know what the authority and the armor is all about and why pray and why Jesus promised protection, if you don't know what it means to resist the devil that he might flee, then you're in for a world of hurt as a believer. You're in for a world of being attacked and suppressed and oppressed, and the goal of that dark side is to slam you, get you to blame everybody else, and leave you incapacitated. If not that alone, to guide you to become angry at God for the circumstances, like in the methodology of the satanic approach to Job. You think he doesn't do the same thing? Let me tell you something. The origins, the nature, clear. The methodology, biblically revealed, clear. He does the same thing. He definitely loves to attack those who are believers. And I have no doubt that he has brought attack to many of your lives. Let me pray with you that the Lord Jesus will make known to you what's been going on, that the Spirit of God will give you such an insight and a heads up what has happened to you in the past that has left you into a world of fear, that has caused you to go silent about the gospel, that has brought defeat in your life, that has left you laying in your bed at night wishing you could be strong for God, but fearing that you will be overtaken again because you don't know what happened the first time around. You need to brush off all of that battle. You need to stand up again in the sight of God and say, here I am. I surrender under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I surrender to the fullness of the Spirit of God and to put into practice every word of God. That will make you a powerful spiritual warrior, a conqueror. That will bring you the ability to be spiritually alert and know how to watch for impending danger. See, this is the opposite of living in fear. This is living in faith in the confidence of God's presence, power, and protection around you, and the authority and the armor and the weaponry that you have and what you're able to do. Now, I'm going to share some of that at the very end of this broadcast when we touch on a word of hope for today. But I'm going to ask you right now, do you really realize the spiritual battle? Now, tonight is about you personally. We'll deal with the world. We'll deal with the church. We'll deal with other things the rest of this week. But listen, if you are beaten down, if you are, sifted, literally pounded by the enemy, and you don't even know what's going on. Listen, I have no question some are listening. You haven't been so much pounded by the enemy, but the enemy has brought his spiritual deceptions, spiritual counterfeits, and spiritual alternatives to you. You don't know God, but you have spiritual experiences. You don't have peace with God, but you feel like you know something, that you have engaged something spiritual. I'm going to tell you right now, all that comes from the hand of God leads back to God with the goal of knowing God personally. There's another side of the fence. Spiritually, it's real, active, present in the world, and Jesus warned about it, especially in the end of days. The deception would be the broadest and widest in the entirety of human history, with the goal of deceiving as many as possible. Revelation 12, with the goal of bringing and leading the entire world astray. Whatever spirituality you have, if it hasn't led you to peace with God, knowing God, the indwelling Spirit of God, and to knowing a Savior that loves you and the power of the cross, then that didn't come from the Spirit of God. And let me give you the warning that what you're in and what will happen down the road, if not already, is that dark side will layer you with more of those events to blind you all the further from keeping, and listen, the goal, keep you from the truth. Don't want you to listen to that guy on the radio. Don't want you to listen to clear, simple biblical revelation where the Spirit of God summons you to come to Christ. They don't want you to know. Now, they'll give you all kinds of stuff. Even you Luciferians, you realize this. Just ask your demons about Jesus of Nazareth. And about that they're going to turn on you when you do that. Let me tell you right now that many of you, you're either living by faith or you're living by fear. One or two motivates the life of the believer. Both cannot be there. We are commanded not to fear. We're called to live by faith. Now, faith doesn't mean jumping out into a void. It doesn't mean just faith in faith, faith in clouds. It means faith in the solid rock of Christ. It means faith in God. It means connection. It means faith in the revelation of God. Now, there are remote viewers. There are 2012ers. There are New Agers. By the hundreds of millions worldwide now, they're believing in the data, the spiritual streams that they've engaged and that have engaged them. Difficulty is this. That's not God. It all comes from the one that wants to be God. Let me tell you something right now. To those that are believers out there that have been concerned about the end of days, concerned about conspiracy and the Antichrist and all the stuff going on, and realize that billions now feel that dark cloud in the air. Even in the growing depth of technologies and so forth, there is this constant theme, Armageddon, catastrophe. Look at the films, read the books, listen, and as Webbot does, reading the emotional content of billions of bytes of information worldwide. What does it tell us? A lot of fear in the world. Fear of massive chaos, catastrophe, and a sense of the end of the world. Well, let me tell you something. There is a lot of fear-mongering out there. And I want to describe what I think fear-mongering is all about. I don't believe anybody that preaches and unveils what biblical revelation says about the end of days is a fear-mongerer. I think those that may call individuals that bring out that reality, I think that they might be living in fear themselves, living in spiritual la-la land, not understanding the word watch or be alert, and be as dense as Peter and the early disciples, while that very presence was in the room ready to bring attack and disruption and destruction to their life. They had no clue. They're just eating. You know, don't worry, be happy. You know, just sing the little song, don't worry, be happy. You know, just whistle a little tune, you know. Let me tell you three things about fear-mongering. Number one, fear-mongering is casting fear without any answers. You know, just going out there and screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and screaming and screaming and running around making a lot of noise. Eventually, nobody's really going to listen to that. Because when people put out there like this guy camping that's saying that, here in May, the end of the world, in the coming, he's wrong. And so a lot of the kind of fear-mongering that has no basis in God-given biblical revelation, that is just a bunch of screaming, that is just a bunch of yelling, and again and again and again, nothing occurs. So the sky is falling with no answers. Why is the sky falling? Who's making the sky fall? What do we do in the midst of the sky falling? Let me give you another thing, fear-mongering. Casting fear. You can look at the Gospel of John chapter 10 on this concerning the dark side. Casting fear to kill, steal, and destroy. Now I even take this back to Nehemiah chapter 4 when, you know, Nehemiah's out there, you know, he's out there ready to do a great work for God. And he's got all the people gathered and they're going to rebuild the temple. They're going to rebuild the Israel in a sense, and the ministry, and do what they felt God led them to do, what God was giving them success to do. Now, when they did this, they had enemies. They had those who worshiped other gods and goddesses. They had those that came to say, we're coming to get you. We're coming to get you. We're going to get you. You're going to look to your right, to your left. We're going to be there. We're going to get you. And in other words, just constantly scaring them and threatening them. Threat after threat after threat after threat after threat. And you know what? And I'll bring this out during the week. You ought to look at the response of Nehemiah in chapter 4. When all that death threat, scary, fear-mongering came from literally evil, wicked individuals, look at the response that could be yours. Take time to get in the presence of God. Take time to look over that. Listen, if you're a spiritual leader specifically, in days in which all kinds of individual things can happen, look at Peter and the disciples. They're scattered. They're running around. Peter's out there cussing and claiming he doesn't even know Christ in front of a little girl. He had no idea what struck him. Now, later on, when he understood and the Spirit of God was on him in power, well, look at Acts chapter 5. That's why I'm saying, regardless of failure, regardless of defeats, you, by the hand of God, are destined by God's, you know, this is God's design in growth, to become stronger, faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. Acts 9:22, I quote a lot, to grow more and more powerful. But I give you the example of Nehemiah 4 and looking at the response. Now, I'm going to give you a third thing on the notes concerning fear-mongering. False flag. The idea that something's going to happen over here, so you put all of your attention over there, when really something's coming from the other side. When there is a casting deceitfully of threats and so forth, that it's all coming to the front door, when really those who are plotting destruction are going to come to the back door. What I'm saying is, don't just look at the world for the threats. Don't just listen to the dark side for the threats. Don't even just listen to the demons, those who are doing deliverance, when they scream their threats. What does the Word of God say? The only accurate, infallible, irrevocable revelation that can tell you what the dark side is going to do, what God is going to do, what we need and can be doing in the midst of it all. So regardless of what the occult streams are saying, what the old secret societies are saying, let me tell you something. 2012 Mayan prophecy coming from the dark side in the first place, that is false flag information. While all that information is coming up on the other side of the fence, the back door is really where the same entity that entered that room to destroy the disciples, the one that attacks the church, the one that wants to lead the whole world astray, let alone individuals. He has no problem in his deception. He's a master at it. He is the father of lies. To be pounding on the front door, claiming it's all coming that direction. And if all you're doing is listening to the threats of the enemy, the threats of the enemy, the threats of the enemy, and all you're doing is listening to the threats of the enemy, and the enemy's plotting in the back door, you need to listen to God. You need to listen to the revelation of God. You need to know the living Christ indwelt by the Spirit of God. As believers, we need to be experienced in the Spirit of God to listen. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation at the end of each of the messages. To those who have ears to hear. If you want to hear, if you want to get a heads up, if you want to be able to watch, if you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, full of the Spirit of God, in the context of in the presence of God praying, you take the time to purposely look for impending danger. Lord, give me a heads up. What's coming my way? What's going on with this? This person said this at church. That person over there said this is going on. These thoughts are coming to my mind and my heart, but they are arrows of the enemy. They are lies. They are striking you in the front, all the while the enemy's plotting in the back. I want the strategy from God. I want the Spirit-given truth. I want what God has in causing me to see, to watch for the impending danger. I want to be able to look and know. I want to know if something is from the enemy or it's not. Let me tell you something. That takes living in faith. That takes living in faith. And again, faith is embracing God, embracing the revelation of God. It is active. I want to ask you a question. Can silence over biblical prophetic warning, silence over these biblical massive things like the great chaos, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the abyss, Armageddon, all these things that will rock the world and bring it to its knees and ultimately bring it to Armageddon, into the world. All these events, there's only one source of original and infallible and accurate. They're living words, my friend. They are living words from God. Have you been listening to them? Have you been listening to the words of God? Now, this is vital. This is absolutely vital. Can silence over these biblical prophetic themes, revelations, the warnings? Could you imagine Jeremiah in his day? And Babylon's going to be coming in and... You know what he had to do? He was sent out for 20 years. The weeping prophet went out and spoke the truth of God, spoke to the people, whether they listened or they didn't listen. His eyes were on what God said, what God said was going to happen. He came to a people, some of which didn't want to hear what he had to say. Some of which wanted to hear only good things, only happy things. They want to live in happy land. You see, as a believer in Christ, I have enormous joy, and I know God loves me. I have a love inside of me that brings me to massive... Listen, that's why I'm here. I know what it is to praise God, to have joy. I know what it is to be, you know, in personal and corporate meetings where I'm just overwhelmed by God's joy and blessing and power and might. That's what we're to be living in without neglecting the biblical prophetic warning. I mean, would anybody charge the Lord Jesus with fear-mongering when we look at Matthew chapter 24? How about Daniel, the book of Daniel? How about in Isaiah? How about in Thessalonians or 1 John or the entire book of Revelation? You know, watch the History Channel and watch all the stuff it brings out. By the way, you know not to get your theology from the History Channel, especially in the Ancient Alien series. You do know not to get your theology from Von Daniken. You do realize he is so far off God's tracks, I don't know if he knows where to get on them. When will you get down to the Spirit-given, living words of God and study like you've never studied before? Under the Lordship of Christ. Yes, there's great joy. There is great joy. But I'm going to tell you, there's great mourning at times in weeping for lives, knowing what's coming. The world doesn't know. It's going to be struck. Lives are going to be lost. People are going to go to hell. And it seems that some Christians only want to live in happy land and to hell with the rest of the world. To those believers, that is an atrocity. Like the story told in Germany, that when the trains that carried the Jews and others to Auschwitz and Dachau were coming past the church buildings at high noon, the members were called on to get up and sing hymns loudly while the trains, with the people clamoring, roared on by. That, my friends, is decadent, horrific failure. That, my friends, is fear-mongering spiritual leaders leading fear-filled congregations into singing hymns to God, overriding the cries of Jews destined for the gas chambers. God forbid. How could there be such spiritual, idiotic leadership, hypocrisy, aiding and abetting radical evil in the end of days? Silence over these issues. Silence in raising our voices, in raising our activity, in raising our evangelism, in raising our prayers, only leads to greater fear in saving yourself and self-centeredness while the rest of the world is without. Now, let me tell you that silence over these biblical prophetic themes can also be signs of, one, lack of biblical knowledge. Lack of biblical knowledge of the revelation of God. There are people, when I talk about some of these biblical themes that I go over and over and over again, they're like, what? I've been a Christian 30 years. I've never heard of this. Have you read this verse? Well, no. Have you read that verse? No. Have you ever taken a course and studied the book of Revelation verse by verse? No. Have you ever decided, listen, we need to quit just crisis praying, crisis Bible studies, where we pick and choose and give God 2 seconds worth of our time in the middle of the day, and usually when we need something, like a bunch of spiritual crybabies. Haven't we been taught powerful, dynamic discipleship, the kind we see in the book of Acts? Lack of biblical knowledge can result in such hypocritical silence over this massive, massive content of which I believe God would use evangelistically. Well, check out, mark it down, Romans chapter 16, verse 25, verse 26, verse 27. Does prophetic writings have anything to do with the gospel and the saving of nations? You check it out. I'm not going to read it for you. You check it out. Romans 16, 25, 26, 27. Does biblical prophetic writings have anything to do with the gospel, getting people saved and nations saved? Secondly, there can be the evidence of this silence can be a lack of the lordship of Jesus. God's commanded spiritual leaders and teachers, you're going to be judged more strictly anyway, preachers, preach the word of God in the sight of Christ, in the sight of the elect. Listen, preach the word of God by the determination of the Spirit of God and the word of God, the content, not by the audience and what they want to hear and what they only want to hear. You ought to stand and unleash the word of God and unleash it in his presence and his power, all of it, explaining it, speaking it, and expounding it and unleashing it, and the hand of God will be with you in that. Thirdly, silence over these prophetic themes can be lack of integrity. Just simply lack of integrity. It's just blatantly. Maybe there's those that fear what people will say, so you let them go blind. You know, you're in a car, there's a driver, in the back seat, the kids reach up, put their hands over the eyes of the driver, and you sit in the passenger side. What do you do? What if the person in the back won't let their hands off the guy's eyes? He's going 55 miles an hour. What are you going to do? Wait till you crash and burn? You're going to sit there and allow everybody to crash and burn? Really? Silence? Silence is absolute madness in this hour that we're living in. It's madness. Three factors of faith. Faith is the center. It's how we grip God. By faith we believe and receive Christ. By faith we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord and begin to experience God's presence. By faith we grip every scripture. Number two, by faith we open the door to God to work in our lives and through our lives. By faith, well, faith must be in action. It must be growing. Now, just clearly, look at Hebrews chapter 11. You're going to find out what people can do, conquering kingdoms and administering justice, doing great things for God in the Old Testament days. What about the New Testament and the mission of God now? What about the thousands and thousands that need Christ? What about revivals and God's extraordinary power and miracles? Well, only those who are going to live in faith, step out in faith, and believe God all across the board, well, we'll be able to do that. My word of hope for today, and I don't want to run out of time tonight, I want you to make sure you get this, and maybe take it and memorize it. This is Joshua 1:9 in the scripture. You've probably read this before. God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, the promise is like this in Matthew, in the Great Commission, that the Lord our God, Christ, will be with us to the very end of the age. So it's not how best we can hide, it's how much we can do spiritually, powerfully, how much we can see God operate through us. If I can help pray in one revival, how about another? If I can help lead two people to Jesus, how about 200? If I can help pray for some to be healed and use the authority Christ gave me to cast out demonic presence when it arrives, you want your church, you want to live, I don't even want to say half-baked. There are a lot of 10% Christians out there. There are a lot of 10% Christians. And the 90% of the depth of God, the power of God, what could be done, it's all waiting. Listen, I want to come out swinging. In looking at all the events and all the things going on, I want to come out swinging. Praise, prayer, witness, resisting, doing all that we can do. Here's the end of the hour. Listen, remember us in prayer, remember us in support. We love you. See you tomorrow night. God bless.